We size up a situation by both instinct and intellect. If the story adds up, that's the intellect part, and a con man manages to project a believable image, we're usually willing to let down our guard. It's the believable image that separates a successful con man or social engineer from one who quickly lands behind bars. Ask yourself, how sure am I that I would never fall for a story like Rick's? If you're sure you wouldn't, ask yourself whether anyone has ever put anything over on you. If the answer to this second question is yes, it's probably the correct answer to the first question as well. Mitnick message. While most social engineering attacks occur over the telephone or email, don't assume that a bold attacker will never appear in person at your business. In most cases, the imposter uses some form of social engineering to gain access to a building after counterfeiting an employee badge using a commonly available software program such as Photoshop. What about the business cards with the phone company test line? The television show The Rockford Files, which was a series about a private investigator, illustrated a clever and somewhat humorous technique. Rockford, played by actor James Garner, had a portable business card printing machine in his car, which he used to print out a card appropriate to whatever the occasion called for. These days, a social engineer can get business cards printed in an hour at any copy store, or print them on a laser printer. Note: John le Carré, author of The Spy Who Came In from the Cold, A Perfect Spy, and many other remarkable books, grew up as the son of a polished, engaging, lifelong con man. Le Carré was struck as a youngster to discover that, successful as his father was in deceiving others, he was also gullible, a victim more than once to another con man or woman. Which just goes to show that everyone is at risk of being taken in by a social engineer, even another social engineer. Leapfrog. A challenge. The following story does not involve industrial espionage. As you read it, see if you can understand why I decided to put it in this chapter. Harry Tardy was back living at home, and he was bitter. The Marine Corps had seemed like a great escape until he washed out of boot camp. Now he had returned to the hometown he hated, was taking computer courses at the local community college, and looking for a way to strike out at the world. Finally, he hit upon a plan. Over beers with a guy in one of his classes, he'd been complaining about their instructor, a sarcastic know-it-all, and together they cooked up a wicked scheme to burn the guy. They'd grab the source code for a popular personal digital assistant, PDA, and have it sent to the instructor's computer, and make sure to leave a trail so the company would think the instructor was the bad guy. The new friend, Carl Alexander, said he knew a few tricks, and would tell Harry how to bring this off, and get away with it. Doing their homework. A little initial research showed Harry that the product had been engineered at the development center located at the PDA manufacturer's headquarters overseas. But there was also an R&D facility in the United States. That was good, Carl pointed out, because for the attempt to work, there had to be some company facility in the United States that also needed access to the source code. At that point, Harry was ready to call the Overseas Development Center. Here's where a plea for sympathy came in. The, "Oh dear, I'm in trouble, I need help, please, please help me." Naturally, the plea was a little more subtle than that. Carl wrote out a script, but Harry sounded completely phony trying to read it. In the end, he practiced with Carl so he could say what he needed to in a conversational tone. What Harry finally said, with Carl sitting by his side, went something like this. "I'm calling from R&D Minneapolis. Our server had a worm that infected the whole department. We had to install the operating system again, and then, when we went to restore from backup, None of the backups was any good. Guess who was supposed to be checking the integrity of the backups? Yours truly. So I'm getting yelled at by my boss, and management is up in arms that we've lost the data? Look, I need to have the latest revision of the source code tree as quick as you can. I need you to gzip the source code and send it to me. Lingo. Gzip. To archive files in a single compressed file using a Linux GNU utility. At this point, Carl scribbled him a note, and Harry told the man on the other end of the phone that he just wanted him to transfer the file internally to Minneapolis R&D. This was highly important. When the man on the other end of the phone was clear that he was just being asked to send the file to another part of the company, his mind was at ease. What could be wrong with that? He agreed to gzip and send it. Step by step, with Carl at his elbow, Harry talked the man there through getting started on the procedure for compressing the huge source code into a single, compact file. He also gave him a file name to use on the compressed file, New Data, explaining that this name would avoid any confusion with their old, corrupted files. Carl had to explain the next step twice before Harry got it, but it was central to the little game of leapfrog Carl had dreamed up. Harry was to call R&D Minneapolis and tell somebody there, "I want to send a file to you, and then I want you to send it somewhere else for me." Of course, all dressed up with reasons that would make it all sound plausible. What confused Harry was this.